Well, good morning. I hope you're blessed already because this has been an awesome morning so far. And the Spirit of God is in this place, and I'm just excited to be able to continue working within it. And so I'm going to open up. We're going to ask a question. We're going to start and begin this message time with the raising of our hands, okay? So we're going to be a little bit interactive here. I want to ask you a simple question. If you are married this morning, do you love your spouse? Just raise your hand if you love your spouse. That's great. That's fantastic. It'd be interesting if one of you raised it and didn't. Anyway, if you're a child, do you love your parents? I'm back there. I gotta look too. If you're a parent, do you love your children? Huh? Yeah. Right. Great. That's fantastic. Who here loves pizza and wings? Right. Who here loves the Buffalo Bills? My parents are here. So who here loves the Packers? Yeah. Who here threw up after last week's Bills game? Who here's terrified for this week's Bills game, but confident at the same time, right? Yeah, okay, great. So I ask all of this for a simple reason, because how do these individuals, kind of push aside the funny stuff here, the Bills and the wings, but the individuals we talked about, your spouse, your children, your parents, how do they in fact know that you love them? Is it just simply because you tell them that you love them? Is it because they feel all warm and cozy and toasty and they have like butterflies in their stomach when they're around you? Or is it maybe because you show them you love them through your actions? Because you see, love really isn't love unless there's proof and action behind it. And oftentimes that action requires sacrifice, selfless love. And so we're in this series, we're actually concluding this series today, Beyond Sunday, the idea that our worship, first of all, isn't just a spiritual experience on Sunday morning. It's not just a song, but it goes far beyond that into our everyday life, beyond Sunday. And so we looked the first week at the context of worship, why we worship. We looked at the Old Testament worship and the sacrificial system at play, which we're going to sort of highlight again this morning at some point. We looked at 2 weeks ago, our public corporate worship like this that we get to experience together. And then last week, we looked at our private individual worship. What we do with our minds, what we do with our bodies all matters to God and is an act of worship. And today we're going to look at the extension of worship, really how this reflection of our love for God should be permeated through us. Because if, in fact, we do love Jesus and he is our personal Lord and Savior, and we say that we love him and we say that we worship him, it should be reflected in how we treat one another, first and foremost, especially in this room, and then beyond the walls of this room as well. And so we're going to look at that this morning. We are going to look at how worship is connected to love and sacrifice. And to give you a little bit of context of the passage that we're going to be reading today, it's found in 1 John. And the history of this is John is writing this letter to the church in general. And he wants it to be this general educational work on the basis and the foundation of their faith. Because what was happening is that they were arguing over theology and behavior, and some were even leaving the church over it. Thank goodness that never happens anymore today. Right? Wrong? We are constantly finding ourselves, I think, in general, in arguments over the way things go and what is happening and certain way things happen, whether this song is too upbeat or this one's not upbeat enough, or there's too much production, or this church didn't handle COVID the way I liked it, so I left that church. All sorts of different things, right? In general, the church has been struggling through that, especially over the course of the past few years with politics and all sorts of different things, right? Now, as a little sort of a sidebar, I want to first of all encourage you that I really do feel loved and supported here at South Creek. And I feel like the bickering and the complaining doesn't often happen very much around here. And if it is happening, you keep yourselves quiet or you just secretly leave and I don't know about it. But overall, I feel very, very supported here. But we're going to get into this a little bit more. So at moments, it may feel like I'm yelling at you. I'm not, I promise. But at the same time, we need to be reminded of these things, myself included. So the whole point of this passage that we're going to read today is that John is trying to establish the basics of Christianity, what actually matters, because they were dividing over things that didn't really matter. They weren't really that important. And so he is like, listen, this is what we need to remember, the core foundational truth of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Let's not forget that. And that is the thing that unites us, because the reality is that there is value in disagreement. There's value in healthy argument, but there's value in unity. and focusing on what unites us rather than what divides us. And the enemy would like nothing more than to divide us. And often that's through personal opinion and all sorts of different things that we're going to get into in just a little bit. So let's read this passage I keep hinting at. 1 John 3:16 through 18 says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Back to the whole thing we started at the beginning. How do we know somebody loves us? Not with what we just say, but our actions. Our actions absolutely speak louder than words. And so we know what love is simply because of who Jesus is. We know what love is because Jesus has displayed his love for us in an overwhelming, incredible way. Last week we learned that we worship because we've obtained this mercy from Jesus Christ. And that mercy's been given to us because he loves us so much. But if we are to worship him in response, if we are to respond to him in worship, it should involve love, and love should involve sacrifice. And so what John is laying out in this passage is that sacrifice is a foundation of love. Sacrifice is a foundation of love. There needs to be action behind it. So some personal examples for me. My wife was here for a service. We were sort of joking each other. I told her what I was speaking on this week, and so she kept saying to me, like, I'm sacrificially loving you today, and giving me an example of what she would do for me, and then I would be doing it back to her. It would be hilarious. But a couple other examples, like this summer, we went on our family trip, that trip that you've heard about, and there was a couple things the kids wanted to do, but I'm like, I don't know if we can do those things. Maybe they're too much money. They're out of the way. And I'm like, fine, let's do them. I love you guys. Let's do it. And so we'd go. We'd spend a little bit of extra money over here. We'd go a little bit out of the way over here. And these are just small examples because I love my kids. I want to do something for them. I want to show them that I love them. And so, but the reality is that oftentimes, whether it's with our children, whether it's with our spouse, whether it's with our coworkers, love can often go out of the way. It may often need to go out of the way from what we intend to go. Love can often be inconvenient at times. Love may often involve an interruption. And if we want to look at Jesus Christ, the ultimate example of love, he was often interrupted. He often went out of the way. He was often in the middle of an inconvenience, but he understood that it was so much bigger than that, that he needed to engage in these situations and these circumstances because he loved his creation. Again, we know love because we know Jesus Christ. And that's what we get to talk about today. We look back at the Old Testament like we talked about the first week, and we're sort of going to highlight again. The Old Testament sacrificial system was in place so that people could be in the presence of God. It was only given through the priests. It was a whole thing that you had to read all of these laws in the book of Leviticus. But a perfect, pure, spotless, firstborn male lamb or goat or cow or bull or whatever had to be offered as a sacrifice. Oftentimes during the harvest, the first fruits of the harvest were to be given to the Levites, were to be given to the priests and to the temple. And so all of this was in place to add value to the offering. The cost of the offering gave it meaning and value to the Old Testament Israelites who had to offer their sacrifices in that way. And then ultimately, Jesus Christ comes as the final sacrifice, the pure and spotless lamb, to remove the need for us to fulfill anymore this Old Testament law that no human being could ever fulfill except for Jesus Christ. But there is still sacrifice involved in our worship today. It may not look like all of us bringing a lamb or a goat in to slaughter on the stage here before us, thank goodness, but there still is sacrifice involved. True worship always involves sacrifice. True worship always involves sacrifice. And so today we're going to briefly look at three different ways in which we sacrifice in our worship. And the first one is simply this. It's our resources. It's our resources. And this one's always a little bit touchy, and I touched on it a little bit earlier as we did our prayer for our offering. But worship is sacrificing our resources for others. And we see this right in the passage we just read. In John 3:17, let me read it again. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Now, an interesting side note, the original Greek for brothers was adelphos, which means fellow Christian or fellow believer. So John is really writing this to the church in that time frame and to you and I today and encouraging us, we need to be looking out for one another within the walls of this church. If we can't figure out how to get along within the walls of this church, if we can't figure out how to look out for each other in the walls of this church, when ultimately everybody in here, hopefully to some degree, believes that Jesus is Lord of their life, or they're at least in here questioning it, how, if we can't get it right here, how are we ever going to get it right out in the world? And people are watching us. People are watching people that they know are Christians for anything that they do to mess up so it can make being a Christian completely invalid. Be like, ah, they can't get it right, so why would I even try and do it? People are watching us. Scripture tells us that they will know we are Christians by our love, by how we treat one another. So this is really focusing on inside the walls of the church, but then as we get this right in here, we can get it right as we go out into our communities as well. So with our offerings, with our tithes, with our finances and resources, what does this look like? Here at Revive, we do something called Heart Check. And back in May, we did a whole series on this where we raise money to send outside the walls of the church. And it's an incredible thing that we do, and it's powerful. And we've been partnering with people across the world, in the city of Buffalo, even locally with Operation Good Neighbor across the street. A lot of those resources went into our game room that we just opened up last week for the student ministry. So a lot of things are at play with this, and it's incredible to see this happen. And we've always wanted these ministries to not be simply transactional financial relationships, but we wanted them to be truly transformational, where we engage with them. And so that's something that's been incredible. It's been happening for years, and we are proud as Revive to be a part of that. These partnerships have given us the ability to stand up against racism in certain situations. When Tops was affected by the shooting in Buffalo, we were able to come alongside local churches down there because of the relationships that we had with them. We could send resources to them, not just to write a check, but because we had a relationship and we wanted to engage with them. We've helped settle refugees in the city of Buffalo. We've done all sorts of things through these finances, and it's incredible. And these are other ministries and organizations that are followers of Jesus and are trying to spread the word of God, and so we're able to sort of exponentially do that through them. But there's another aspect of that we often brush over, because it's a lot easier to give to these other organizations that are so seemingly glamorous and doing all of these things, that we forget that here, locally, in this building, we still need to keep the lights on. We still need to actually pay the heat bill and all sorts of things like that. And that's where our offering and our tithe comes in as well. But the thing is, oftentimes we give out of abundance simply because it's easier. We kind of wait till the end of the month. We say, okay, here's what I got left. I'll give this away. And then I'm going to probably give it to Heart Check, because that's going outside the walls of the church. The church has all they need. Full disclosure, we're actually pretty far behind in our operating fund locally in the church. And so the reality is there. But God has called us from the Old Testament into the New Testament now to give sacrificially. Not simply out of our abundance, but we realize that our abundance we have comes from the Lord, and we give sacrificially first from that, and then we work on the rest, and God does more with it than we could ever do or imagine. We say this during the offering, but sometimes it can become muddy and we just sort of say it over and over again. But it's the reality that God has called us into. My wife and I have been learning this ourselves over the course of the past several months. We've been intentionally trying to release our finances to the Lord, and it's been incredible, and he has provided and blessed us in significant ways. But it has truly been a sacrifice. But it's a sacrifice that I'm willing to make because I want to show God that I truly do love him. And I can trust him, and that he is faithful, like we already sang about. Just like in the Old Testament, the cost of our sacrifice, even today, gives it value and meaning. So our first one is resources. It's always a tricky one. It's always a hard one to talk about, but it's a reality of where we are. And God has called us to give sacrificially. So resources. The second one is this. Worship is making sacrifices to be part of a community. This one's, I like to talk about this one because I love being a part of this community. I've said that many times here. I love being a part of South Creek. I love leading you. I feel like I'm part of you, and it's incredible. And we get to come together, and we get to sing our beliefs and our theology together. We get to sing them in one voice through incredible music. We get to pray together in powerful ways. We have people that pray with you after service. You can write your prayer requests on those cards in the front of you. You can drop those off afterwards, and we have a prayer team that comes alongside you as well. We learn together in this community. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. As I prepare for these messages, I am learning them as I go. God is speaking to me in the preparation. And yes, I've gone to school for it, and I understand some things, but at the same time, I'll see these, and I'm like, I need to dig in deeper in this, and I'll learn more. And God speaks to me more. And it's just an incredible unification that we get to have together as the Spirit is speaking through me. These are not, I hope, my words. If they were just only my words, you probably wouldn't be able to understand me because I'm a mumbling mess when I speak, typically. Last service during the prayer, I almost swore again. It was an accident too, but I shouldn't go off on a tangent right now. Anyway, but there's power in being together. But here's the thing. Here's where the sacrifice comes in. First of all, there's commitment that takes place in being together, right? One of the worst things that COVID did was give us this golden platter of laziness, right? Like, oh, okay, you can just stay home because you can't come to church anyway because it's not safe. So stay home and watch online. And honestly, I love the way we came together as a church to provide a quality online option for people. It was what was needed at that time. But unfortunately, for far too long, people stayed home on the comfort of their couch and they missed out on the incredible aspect of community that we have here. And almost every week, or at least once a month, somebody would come up to me and say, this is my first time back since COVID. I can't believe what I was missing. Because the thing is like, yes, the Holy Spirit is alive and active, and it's the Holy Spirit is working in and through the TV or whatever it is you're watching on. But nothing can compete with the power of being together. And so we're getting back to that, and it's incredible. It's been a slow go, but it's powerful to see it happening. But there's a commitment involved in that. To actually step out of your home and actually get here. I mean, think about the winter, right? When you wake up and there's 2 feet of snow on the ground. It's a commitment to get here. I'm actually surprised at how many people do end up here still on days like that. But it's powerful because you understand the value of being together. Now, trust me, this goes beyond Sunday. That's the whole point of this series. It's not just about Sunday morning, but Sunday morning is an integral part of our worship lifestyle that we are to live. In addition to that, when it comes to making sacrifices to be part of a community, how's this one for you? Our preferences. We need to be willing to sacrifice our preferences because we understand that we are part of something so much bigger. Our preference is like, I mentioned this at the beginning, but I don't like that song. It's too loud. That song has too many drums in it. That song's too soft. It puts me to sleep. I don't like the lights. They're shining in my eyes. Stop it. I don't like that instrumental. It was way too long. There shouldn't be instrumentals in worship music. People tell me that. I have had people tell me that before. Little side note, and I went off on this tangent last service. I'm going to do it again because I enjoy it. I used to run the worship department at the churches, and so it was always a tension. People would always come up to me and be like, you shouldn't have guitar solos or piano solos, and it's not about that. I'm like, but God has created these individuals with incredible gifts. We had the privilege of having Mike with us this morning playing keyboards. He's humbly sitting back there shyly, not wanting anybody to acknowledge him. But we had that moment this morning. Well, the first song had a pretty long instrumental in it, but it gave Mike the opportunity to truly just let out his worship through the gifts that God has clearly given him. Why can't he do that? And there's people in this room that I bet play piano or enjoy the sound of a piano, and there's something that happens. There's a connection that takes place there. And so, well, maybe you're on this side of the aisle and you're like, I don't like those things. I don't like those guitar solos or instrumentals. And the person right next to you is connecting to God in an incredibly magnificent way. It's not about us. I don't like the way they handled COVID. I don't like the way they dealt with the masks. I don't like their stance on politics. The problem with all of these I's is that the common denominator is in fact that. It's I, it's me. And coming to worship before the Lord is not about you and me. It's not about you and me. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be doing things theologically accurate. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be doing things that glorify God. And if things are truly a distraction to the vast amount of people in this room, then we need to look at it. But when our opinions and our preferences get in the way of our ability to truly worship, because worship should involve sacrifice, then we need to check something. And this is the reality we're in. Again, this is the part of the message I told you you were going to think I was yelling at you. I really do feel like you guys support most of everything we do here. I don't feel like you guys come up to me afterwards and say, wow, this, that, and that. It's great. I love the support. But it's something that I think we all, including myself, need to be reminded of. Because I've gone to other worship services and other situations and be like, oh, I don't particularly enjoy the way they do that. But it's theologically accurate and it's glorifying God. So I should be all in. Because that's what it's about. And that's what we are about here. Interesting side note on the music as well. And I say this, I have a lot to say about that because I used to do it. And also because it's often the hot topic of arguments. But we even put a team together just recently. We're going through all the lyrics of the songs, that many of the songs that we sing. And we're like looking through them. We're aligning them in scripture. And we're making sure that they're theologically accurate. And there's actually been a couple songs we've pulled from the repertoire now because we were like, oh, that is just kind of open for interpretation. We better not sing that. We take it seriously. We want it to be right. We want it to be done well. We want to engage as many people as possible. But at the same time, we never want the Holy Spirit to take the back seat in what we're doing. So preferences can often get in the way. Production is that, message length, all sorts of different things, how we do certain things. But it's not about our preferences because there's something so much bigger and more important going on here. It's about worship, expressing our love for God, and it's about how we interact with each other in this room, our brothers and sisters. Through the grace of God and through the love and sacrifice of Jesus, we get to be a part of the body of Christ here at South Creek. And I'm so excited for that, and I hope you are as well. And here's the thing. When we get this right, when we understand what it means to like put aside our preferences, especially with people we even actually agree with, then we can actually put aside our preferences with those that we don't agree with out in the world and live a selfless, sacrificial life in our communities. And that's when people start to notice maybe there's something different about us. And that doesn't mean we should go out into our communities and just like take the back seat and have no backbone or anything or not stand up for ourselves. But God has called us to be a servant of others, and we can do that out in the world. And we got to figure out how to get it right here first, and then we can be effective on it out there as well. Thirdly, lastly, is our agendas, right? Our agendas. I love a plan. I love an agenda. Back to that trip we took this summer, I had it all planned out. I had every campsite, every destination, every location picked out for a whole straight month. And it worked out pretty well. I left a couple areas of buffer and margin in there for if something was going to go wrong or if we wanted to change our plans. But ultimately, it all worked out very well. It was great. Here on our weekend, Allison told us a couple weeks ago, our service orders are pretty scripted out. There's no doubt about it. If you look on paper, they're kind of scripted down to the minute. But I never want that agenda or that plan to get in the way of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And we had an experience of that already this morning, as Maureen shared with us. That wasn't on the script. It wasn't part of the minutes that we had laid out. But God clearly had something to speak through her, and it spoke to me, and I hope it spoke to you. And so oftentimes she or somebody else will come to me and say, I have something I feel like I got to share. Can I share it with the congregation this morning? And I'm like, yeah, that's great. And yeah, we have checks and balances in that, but we want to be leaning on the Holy Spirit and not our own agendas. We do, however, serve a God of order, not a God of chaos. And so we do, yes, plan things out, but we also want there to be moments of freedom in what we do. And I realize we're a specific denomination and other denominations do different things differently. Again, that's fine, but we got to put our agendas aside. And I don't want to throw my plan away or my agenda away when I come here in the morning, but I hold it loosely. Other examples of this are when I'm at the after service and I've got to get home, or maybe I see somebody that is sitting in the back of the room or hasn't quite left yet, and it's clearly obvious they need to be spoken to. It's in those moments where I can sort of step aside and be like, you know what, God, you're clearly calling me to go talk to this person. And I do it. So I would encourage you to be open to those moments, open to those experiences in your life, even in here first. When you walk in here, ask yourself, who can I engage with this morning that I haven't engaged with before? Or who can I meet for maybe the first time? Or how can I extend grace? Or how can I bring life or positivity to the atmosphere in this room? Rather than just sort of coming here to receive the whole time, but actually come here to give as well. Because our worship should involve sacrifice, and sacrifice off is given, not just received. So yes, we come here, we get filled up, we experience God. It's incredible. We love it. It feels good. We receive, and that's great. We can. But we should also be intentionally looking for ways in which we can give as well. Once we get that right as well here, we can get it right in the communities, our agendas and our plans. And when we're going from point A to point B and we see something that needs to be attended to or something on the side of the road or an individual in a store that needs assistance with their groceries, whatever it is, small or large, we have margin in our life for the ability to say, you know what? What this thing I was going to do can hold on and can wait. And I can give this a little bit of attention because it's what God's wanting me to do. And that's an extension of our worship and what we do. So as we kind of conclude this morning, I want to go back to our passage. I want to read it one more time. And then I got a couple closing thoughts, and then we're going to do something together that we haven't done in a long time. It says this: this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, for each other in this room, sacrificially. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. One final reality, and actually Maureen hit on it, and I didn't even mention it at the first service, but I intended to. Sometimes we worship. Sometimes the things that we have to sacrifice in our worship is just simply our own emotional state. You may be here this morning and you're angry. You may be here this morning and you're absolutely just overwhelmed with anxiety. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just filled with grief or depression or confusion. But it's even in the midst of those moments where we intentionally choose to worship, because worship involves sacrifice. And even when things don't seem right, and even when the world seems to be going in the wrong direction, we hold to the foundational truth that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and he will in fact provide for us. And we may go through trials, and we may go through hurt, struggles and issues in life, but he is there with us the entire way. Even when it's hard, even when it's hard, we still worship. I'm gonna ask you to stand as we kind of conclude this morning. And one of the things that we used to do long before COVID, actually, it wasn't just because of COVID we stopped doing this, is we used to sort of have a communal time of prayer. And so at this point, I want to ask you, if you've got anything going on, if you're in that situation right now in your life where you're struggling with anxiety, or the burden of grief, of anger, of anything in your life, of confusion, that you would just slip your hand up. And as you slip your hand up, I'm going to ask anybody that's around you to lay their hands on you. Again, this was like COVID like freaked us out and we weren't able to do this for a while, but we're going to do it again. And so if you've got anything that's going on in your life that you need prayer for, anything at all, we've given you opportunities through the prayer cards. We've given you opportunities at the end of service. Linda will be back at the wall. She'll pray with you as well. But we want to pray together as a congregation, as the body of Christ. So again, anything at all that you have, just slip your hand up. I know we haven't done this in years, so I know it's maybe a little uncomfortable, but if you're comfortable having somebody lay their hands on you, just slip your hands up and we would love to come alongside you and pray. And for anybody that's not right around them, if we could just all raise our hands out. And just look around the room. If you see anybody with their hands raised up, if you could go over to them and just pray with them. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna say the words. I just want you to pray along with me in your heart. And we're gonna pray together as we come together in community. And we put aside our differences and we put aside our agendas and we put aside everything, so we can focus on our Heavenly Father. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are in this place and that this community is knit together by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, let us never take that for granted. The enemy would love to divide and destroy any sort of momentum that you have created for us in this place. And we speak against that in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. And I ask that anybody with their hands raised or anybody that wasn't really ready to raise their hand but needs prayer, that your Spirit would come along them. That they would feel your warmth, that they would feel your healing like Maureen talked about earlier. That your Spirit would be in and through them alive and active, Lord. We know that you can do these things and we pray for that now. We realize that life can be difficult at times. But Lord, then also we look at our circumstances and we think, man, it's terrible right now. But then we look at the news and we see other things that are so much worse that put things into perspective. There's so many victims down because of the hurricane that's going through the state of Florida and up the coast now, Lord. And we pray for protection. We pray for peace. We pray for your love and your kindness and your mercy to shine through them and those around them, as many are in need of your provision like never before now. And so we ask for that as well this morning. But we acknowledge that you're God. We acknowledge that you are Savior. And we want to love you. And we understand and realize this morning, and we need to be reminded this morning that that love often takes sacrifice. So as we sacrificially love our loved ones around us, Lord, allow us to continue to sacrificially love you in all that we do, even beyond Sunday. We pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.